This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Taking a look at the issues surrounding the health and well-being of our LGBTIQ+ communities. This is Well Well Well, brought to you by the team from Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Jack with you here in the studio on Well Well Well, and I'm now joined by Mark and Mayette from the HIV Still Matters campaign that Thorn Harbour is producing this year. Thank you both for joining me in the studio. Tell me a little bit about your experience living with HIV and why you both decided to be part of the latest campaign.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was diagnosed back in 2018.
Yep.
And it's been a bit of a journey. I've had some personal stuff happen in my life, professionally, emotionally, mentally, everything. And I'm at a space at the moment where I feel like the last five years, the experiences I've had, and being able to work with Thorn Harbour, with this campaign, I've been able to share my story a lot more comfortably. I'm in a better headspace about it.
Yep.
Especially with, you know, the way I, like things like medication and adherence and all that sort of stuff. I've reflected back on how it's been in the last 5 years, and I'm a lot more comfortable being able to talk about it and share it.
With, share that experience.
Yeah, share it with the rest of my, with the rest of the world, I guess now.
Yeah, true. And how about yourself, Maya?
Yes, Mark said, we've been through, I mean, the first time he told us about it, it was just with me and your dad, isn't it? We were really very... deep inside, we were shocked, but we, you know, it's like a duck. A duck looks like calm on the surface, but really paddling underneath. So that's how my mind was working when he was when he came out to us about it, because we knew that. There's going to be a stigma about it, but more so, it doesn't really matter about what other people say. We were more concerned about his health, about, yeah, he said his journey, what it's going to be like, his the health, the medication, the compliance, and all those things. That's what we were more concerned about. But I think, like you said, though, that 5 years, he's been through, and hopefully we're there through him as well. There were gaps, but now we're all in a much better headspace to talk about it. And sharing it. I was glad that when he first said that he was doing volunteer work with Thorn Harbour, it was said, yes, you know, there's all these activities that he's doing with Thorn Harbour. They're all positive. It's great. And hearing, knowing so much about Thorn Harbour with all these activities that he's been doing, I felt really comfortable with them.
And with such what I would hope would be, in your experience, Mark, an uplifting community in a lot
so.
Of ways
very,
as well.
Very much so. I engaged with, even before my diagnosis, I was engaged with, back then, what was Victorian AIDS Council.
Yep.
And the services and the support that the organisation was able to provide for a person like me, was amazing. And then having the diagnosis, and then the way Thorn Harbour's been able to adapt and change and grow in the way into what it is now,
and continue supporting, our communities as well. I mean, on that, when you got your diagnosis, my understanding, Mark, was that you disclosed your status very quickly after finding out. Or very short after, you kind of found out about that. But I imagine a lot of people struggle to disclose to others early on. Why? Walk me through why you spoke to your parents about it so early on.
I didn't want to hide anything about me. Like, it wasn't some, I could have easily have not said anything, but this was something that I was going to live with for the rest of my life. And it was shocking to me at first, when I was first told. And I had to go through that, but I didn't want to feel that way. I knew my parents were already very supportive of me and the things that I was going through. So not that I just wanted to add another thing on the bucket
no,
list.
No.
But I probably needed them. I needed them at the time to be there for me as well.
So you were correct me if I'm wrong. You were anticipating more of a positive reaction than potential blowback or anything negative, I imagine, at that point?
I think it was more always just going to be their concern for my health.
Yeah.
I think that was the main point for me, and I just didn't want them to be concerned, because at the time of my diagnosis, I knew what treatment was like already.
Yep.
For people living with HIV, and it wasn't going to be a death sentence for people anymore. And I wanted for them to know that from, you know, at the very beginning, as opposed to me having gone through months or years or whatever it is, them thinking, why didn't he tell us?
Yeah.
What was he going through for him to have made, for him to
hold on to that?
Yeah, hold on to that.
Totally.
Yeah. When for me, I wasn't trying to escape away from the diagnosis. It was going to be just a part of me already. And I had to embrace the things that was, whatever was going to come, and just see the positive side of it, I guess.
Huh. As it were.
Yeah.
Maya, when Mark first sat down to tell you, I guess, what was, you kind of spoke a little bit to this already. Was it really the health concerns that were the main thing to cross your mind at that point?
Yes, it was. I mean, considering the, how should I say, you know, he's being...
What it was like back then.
But it was back then.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, when it first came out, it was such a big deal. I mean, if you remember that movie, Philadelphia, it was, it was really a big issue back then. And it was like death sentence.
My parents didn't get to see the Grim Reaper ad.
No, yeah.
So we weren't here yet in Australia.
No, I guess. To that point, because you were in the Philippines at that point. How do you think it may well have played out in the Philippines? Even, you know, at that time, it, I imagine, wasn't the death sentence.
If we were there?
Yeah. If you had that experience in the Philippines compared to here in Australia, how do you think that experience would have been different?
It would have been so negative, first of all, you know, in the family itself, it would be a very different stigma. The outlook is different. And like I said, poor you. It's all poor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, very negative. And, you know, it's like, poor you, that's a death sentence. How can you don't, it's very toxic.
Mm.
You don't like that type of environment. And there's no information, very little information about the background. So, and there's a lot of people who think they know so much about, you know, all things that will tell you this. It's just, it's so much better here because you've got all the support there. There's no support. So you've got the stigma, the environment, the outlook, the judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it's... there's no hope. And how could he? Why did he? All those blaming and, you know, things.
Thank you for immigrating us to Australia.
Well, I was going to say, because you mentioned that your parents didn't see The Grim Reaper, say, when it first came out, right? I think that stands out to a lot of people, especially in our sort of field of work, within the community as well, as one of the most front of mind, I guess, public education sort of campaigns at the time. what was the state of play in the Philippines at that point? Because I'm not sure if you were working as a nurse at that point
No. This is nursing is my second life.
Right.
In the Philippines, it would be all hush hush.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Don't
talk about it. It'll be a secret. Even back then, you know, sexuality.
Yeah, that's just in terms of sexuality.
Yeah, right.
Just imagine, you know.
Another level on top.
Another level on top that was killing people.
That's correct.
Yes. In the 80s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and HIV or AIDS, it's just, it's an issue between people who work in the sex industry.
Yep.
Yeah, it's something. You've been identified. You've been. Yeah.
There's a lot of work that still needs to happen. I believe in the Philippines, just based on some videos that I've watched with the stats over there, and you know, there are a lot of hardworking people who are trying to do the same,
of course.
Which is minimize stigma, educate the community, reduce the rates of HIV.
But it's a very different landscape, I imagine.
Very much so, yeah.
I mean, I have, I told you before, I have gay friends growing up in college and had to go through, just with sexuality, it's a big issue.
That stigma and discrimination, yeah.
And if, like, I guess Australia is a country that Philippines knows very well as well and would hope. We have a lot of Filipino nurses that come to Australia.
Yep.
And, you know, if I can share my story and give that sense of hope, and it's not just about living in Australia, it's about the dynamic that I have with my family and make that be a positive thing. If this campaign is seen all over the world and people can relate to my story, that would be amazing if it helps someone to look for support services that I've had available to me.
Or just to feel reassured, I imagine, some way.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Whether that's through the work that you know, Thorn Harbour does here or potentially ACON in New South Wales or any number of community organisations around the world.
Yeah.
Stay with us here on Well, Well, Well as we continue the conversation with some of the faces of Thorn Harbour's upcoming HIV Still Matters campaign, Mark and Mayat.
From HIV to COVID-19, STIs and everything in between, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy and the Community Radio Network.
Jack still with you here on Well, 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 and I'm in the studio with Mark and Mayat, some of the faces of Thorn Harbour's upcoming HIV Still Matters campaign. We were talking a little bit about, I guess, the state of play in the Philippines at around the time that, Mark, you kind of spoke to your parents about this. Mayat, you said that, you know, nurse was kind of your second life, I think you said.
Yeah.
As much as there is still a lot of work to do in terms of public health education in the Philippines, do you feel like, or speak a little bit about the progress that you may well have seen with your gay friends that you know, knew well in college? Some of them may well be living with HIV potentially.
Could be.
I imagine would still play on their mind in some way, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like there has been a change in how people talk about HIV and AIDS over the last 30, 40 years?
I'm not sure. Like Mark said, there's really less advertisements of support. It's not very out there.
Yeah.
And there's still the, because of the stigma, the judgment, and it's still a hush-hush thing, you know, even within the family. Because the first support that people need is within their family, you know. If there's none of that, how else do you expect them to go out there with, you know, with the public supporting them? It's still a very paternal environment. Like the dad, I'm the dad, and this is what it is. You're either straight or you're not. If you're not, then it's still like that.
Right.
Different levels of society, mostly in the middle, I think middle group society, but especially those who are with less education, less information, less support, and all those things. There's none of that. Then, you know, it's very blind. They're blinded by, you know, all the possibilities that this life, that there's life outside this, that it's not all doom and gloom. And even here in Australia, there's still that, you know, there's still those people who are like that. We just try to stay away from toxicities and because it's not going to help.
No.
Yeah.
Mark, I guess, how do you think your mum being a medical professional impacted your dynamic with her in light of your status? You said that you weren't interested in trying to conceal this information, but was it potentially reassuring in some way that she had some idea of what was involved?
Nursing is both our second careers.
Yeah.
So we've come from very similar professional backgrounds, not just in nursing. But I think I did my nursing degree first and my mum did hers after. And I feel like we saw each other's growth after getting into this career, and seeing that the growth that I saw in my mum when she finished her degree and got into this professionally, I knew she was able to think about things in a different way, not just emotionally, but more obviously clinically. She's able to look at information out there and the research that's happened in the HIV sector and apply it, obviously, to the situation that we've got ourselves in. That's my perspective on why I was able to open up to my mum so quite easily about it, because I was able to sort of take away the emotion.
More objective.
You wouldn't have to. Yeah. You wouldn't be worrying so much about that emotional. Yeah. Knockback.
Yeah. It was there.
Yeah.
But I think we were able to see the diagnosis on a different level.
Yeah.
In terms of moving forward in a positive way, because taking one pill a day and I'm going to live a healthy life.
Yeah.
And safety, actually, I'm a lot more engaged with my healthcare.
Yeah,
than true. I was actually before my diagnosis. So. Yeah.
As part of the interview for HIV Still Matters, for the campaign, you spoke a little bit about your siblings and your father as well. And you alluded a little bit to this earlier as well. Was it just as easy, or tell me about that experience speaking with your siblings, your father, and also your friends who may well not know quite as much. I mean, I'd like to believe that a lot of queer folk are much more tuned into their health and well-being and their sexual health, I imagine. But I also know firsthand that isn't always the case. What was that like for you?
I probably found that a little bit tough.
Yeah.
It was maybe the relationship I had with my mom was quite good.
Yeah.
So I was able to open up to her with things a little bit easier. With the rest of my family, maybe not so much.
Right.
And like maybe, you know, not that my family is discriminate.
Yeah,
discriminatory about this whole thing.
I mean, but maybe by the nature of them not being working in the same field, they wouldn't know as much.
That's right. Yeah. So maybe it was a little bit, still a bit on the hush hush side.
Yeah.
But again, 5 years later, me being able to engage in this campaign and be a part of it, they were like, awesome, that's great. Like it changed my relationship with, because of the way my relationship changed with my headspace with someone living as HIV. And they know where I'm at the moment, you know, happy.
And that changed your relationship in some way with them as well?
Yeah. And the way that they have seen the diagnosis, it's like, well, it's just like just you're taking medication for something that you're living with that's not killing you.
There's plenty of conditions where that's the case. Yeah.
There's a, you know, it's just like I said at the interview, it's not a very single, you know, put it in a pedestal and it's something you don't make so much out of it. Now there's other diagnoses, there's other diseases there that are killing people.
Yeah.
So why focus on this as something that's negative. Something that's very negative. There's other diseases that we need to focus on that are, you know, there's no cure.
Yeah.
This has a cure. It's just a matter.
Well, there's no cure.
I'm so sorry. There's no cure, but it's you manage
it's
it.
It's a manageable long
term. It's managed.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a medication. You've got good lifestyle. Good healthy.
People are living longer.
It's exactly. Yeah. But there are. It's just that's what's annoying. What makes me annoyed sometimes because it's you know why because it's tied up to the sexuality to the gender. Yeah, it's that's what it is.
That years of like internalized and like toxic stigma that I feel like so many different people had towards queer folk and people living with HIV.
I think when you mentioned that to your siblings, I mean, they were more supportive. And like me, they're more concerned with, you know, are you okay? So there's that support now.
Yeah. To close out, I have a question for each of you. Mark, what advice would you give to other people living with HIV who are unsure as to how they disclose their status to others? And how do you look after yourself in doing that? Making sure or trying your best to set up your own boundaries around how you disclose to other people. How did you go into your disclosure in some ways?
So it was when I was diagnosed, the services, I couldn't do it on my own.
Mm.
Definitely not.
Right.
My goodness me. Thank goodness I had the support of my family, like my mum and other people who were in my life at the time, be by my side. However, there is only so much that they can do as well, and you don't want to burn people in your life out like that as well. I'm not going to say a burden. It's not a burden. But this kind of...
That can be a lot.
It can be a lot, definitely. Yeah. So the support's out there in the community.
Take advantage of them.
It's so much. So I did, and I did. I was already engaged with Thorn Harbour, but other organisations like Living Positive Victoria, the Peer Navigator Program in with Living Positive Victoria really, really helped. So... hearing other people's experiences and seeing where they're at and what they've been able to accomplish and
whilst, and how they live
and how they live whilst living with HIV, it's kind of like being in, you know, in school and earning a certificate. Like you learn about other things and other people, and you take that on yourself and so that, you know, it's like I've attained a certificate of being able to be more resilient because this other person has showed resilience and I've learned a lot from this other person. Hope that made sense.
No, it did, absolutely. And I guess, Maya, what advice would you have for listeners? And I suppose for you in particular, parents who might have a child with HIV.
If you're approached, because I don't really openly share, you know, what's happening in the family. My concern is Mark. And if I'm approached, like when I was first approached to do this, someone asked me, are you sure you want to do this? Mm. You know, your private, you know, everything's going to be out there. Someone's going to ask you, are you sure that this is what you want to do? I said, I'm sure, because I'm not supporting anyone. I'm supporting my son.
Yeah.
And we're telling a story that hopefully other parents, moms and dads, and, you know, will be able to take something out of it. That they will be brave enough, like I my take was the reason my support for him, my knowledge of HIV, where it is now, where it will be in the future. This, you know, all these great activities and support that he's been part of, that he's been given, medication, healthcare, good lifestyle, things, all those things.
The community.
Yeah, exactly. It's there.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I think it's giving it out there. My take now is to share it to people and give them some, just because I did my research as well.
Yeah.
And I looked at videos and, and that added to my confidence.
That would have helped. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
So, yeah. So it's just paying it forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark and Mayat from Thorn Harbour's 2023 HIV Still Matters campaign. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you
very much.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to Well, 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 supported by Thorn Harbour Health on Joy and the Community Radio Network. For more LGBTIQ plus health and wellbeing and much more, check out Thorn Harbour on social media at Thorn Harbour or via the website thornharbour.org.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.